part two. Growing up, Finn was only young when he came home with us. We were told he must live outside in the kennel that had been delivered. That first night, the weather was freezing, and after he'd eaten his dinner with added warm gravy to help keep him warm, I put him to bed and said good night. After an hour or so, it had started to snow. I felt really worried about young Finn, and I snuck out to check on him. Finn had a lovely kennel and run. The kennel was weatherproof and had brand new thick warm bedding in it, all ready for his first night in his new home. So when I creeped out, I was surprised to find Finn curled up in the snow. With snow laying on and all around him, he had his feet tucked in under his body and his tail was over his nose, keeping the only bits of his body not covered in fur, protected from the elements. He was fast asleep. Maybe the bedding was too warm. After a few weeks of bonding, Finn and I were off to Surrey for our 13-week initial course, a course I'd dreamt of being accepted onto from about the age of 12, a course Finn was bred for, his siblings were destined for, and his parents had completed. The picture is of a young Finn getting stuck in on the early days of that course. To begin with, he, or possibly we, you'd have to ask our trainers, I think I know what their answer might be, didn't set the world alight. But our excellent trainers kept on going. They saw the potential in Finn clearly. He was young, he had some growing up to do, and I had lots of learning to do too, and possibly some growing up to do. We got through the course with a good grounding to go away with and build on, and that is exactly what we went away and did. With the support of more experienced colleagues and a desire to be the best we could be, Finn and I spent the next few years building our understanding of each other, how we worked, what we needed of each other. Eventually, with lots of training, hard work and determination, you should get to the stage where you don't have to ask your dog to do something or react in a particular way. They just know. They feed off of all your emotions and body language and actually just become an extension of you. That's what should happen. That is what happened to me and Finn. In fact, Finn only really needs me to drive him to the jobs and feed him after work. He is so good at what he does now. He has hundreds of stories of good work resulting in naughty people being locked up, evidence being recovered, lost people found, lost property being recovered. Including the time, whilst on our rest days, when on a walk, I lost my car keys in a recently cut farmer's field. I had no idea where they were, but knowing Finn's nose, I took him into the field, made sure the wind was in our favour, and after less than 2 minutes, he'd found them. The field was huge. There was no way I'd have found them. Finn would go on to repeat this sort of feat hundreds of times, sometimes after the suspects have long gone. This is our job, to see if we can recover vital bits of evidence. I call it playing the long game. We will still get our man, but it might take a little longer with the help of forensic science. A few years back, on a hot summer's day, which can make a police dog's work even harder, Finn tracked and found the now convicted burglar of a very famous comedy actor. Finn also went on to find all the items that had been stolen during that burglary. Prior to our arrival, the police helicopter had failed to find anyone, and officers were about to give up and move on to the next job. You can't beat a dog's nose, though. We were rewarded with a cake, some treats for Finn, and a new ball. By the time I got into work and heard of the cake, it had all been eaten, I'm told, by the senior management team.